and we've worshiped you in prayer, and we've worshiped you in praise. And now we come to this moment of proclamation and preaching, and we need to hear from you. We need your word, O God, because it's your word that guides us, that directs us, that instructs us, that shows us the way that you would have for us to go. So, O God, take me now, your mouthpiece, your servant, and use me in whatever way you see fit. Lord, I know, and you know even better than me, that no real, true, authentic preaching can happen unless you do it through the medium of human personality. And so I ask you, O God, to take me just as I am, faulty, flawed, and frail, and use me to your glory. Let these words of my mouth and meditations of my heart be found acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Brothers and sisters in Christ, in the passage that precedes the one that we've read today in Mark chapter 10, verses 35 through 45, read it when you get a chance, you'll see how James and John fall into a tragic trap of being seduced by positions and titles. When we look at James and John, we see that they are in the Bible, at least in this case, the quintessential examples of how easily we can slip into a place where our priorities are not what they should be, even though we're trying to follow Jesus. Yes, sir. For right on the heels of hearing Jesus tell them about how he will have to go to Jerusalem, to be arrested, mocked, spit on, beaten, crucified, buried, and finally rise again, the first thing that jumps in their mind to ask Jesus about is a position, a title. We want to sit on your right hand and on your left. Lord, help us. You see, Jesus has to take the opportunity to teach them in his marvelous, masterful way what's really important if you're going to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. He lets them know that drinking from the cup that he drinks from will mean some betrayal and opposition. How many of you know when you're trying to live for Jesus, you're going to run into some problems? And that to be baptized with the baptism that Jesus is baptized with will mean crucifixion and sacrifice. But in the end, hallelujah, God can raise you up again. God can reestablish you where you need to be. Anybody know that God can pick you up after the world has knocked you down? So Jesus gives them some finely tailored teaching to let them know if you're going to be great, if you really want to be great, you don't do it the way the world does. You don't do it the way the world practices it. But if anybody in God's church is going to be great, they do it by being a servant. And literally being a servant to others. I think that we all can agree in here, can't we? That Jesus is the ultimate example of a perfect disciple maker. Not only did he choose, train, nurture, and prepare his own disciples, but he also taught them to be able to do the same and multiply others within the body of Christ. So Jesus is our ultimate example of who to look at and learn from when it comes to being a disciple and becoming a disciple maker ourselves. And now, as Mark lets us go a little further with him in the chapter, we find Jesus entering and leaving the city of Jericho. That city of Jericho, about 15-mile mountainous, hilly journey from Jerusalem, And we also know about Jericho because Jesus talked about it in the parable of the Good Samaritan. It is on the Jericho road that a man falls victim to thieves who rob him and beat him and leave him for dead. And it is on that same Jericho road where religious folk, the priest and the Levite, look at him and cross on the other side and ignore him. Lord, have mercy. But then finally, here comes this Samaritan, an unlikely person who stops and cares for the man and provides resources for his healing and recovery. It is on this Jericho road where Jesus now finds himself traveling with his disciples. And as they are on the way, the crowd is following him. They want to see what this young preacher from Galilee is going to do next. What's he going to say? What's he going to do? What miracle will he perform? And then Dr. Cofield, as if there is a divinely orchestrated appointment on this very road, the voice of a man named Bartimaeus can be heard ringing out above the clamor of the crowd, shouting, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Now, Bartimaeus is described in the Bible by his condition. You saw that in your Bible. It says blind Bartimaeus. In other words, his blindness is what defines the particularity of who he is, but his name means son of Timaeus, and Timaeus means honor. So the situation unfolds in which we have a man whose name means son of honor, but yet he's relegated to a situation in life where he is limited to begging in the eyes of everybody in the community. It's a startling contradiction in the description of his character that Bartimaeus is a man of honor who is stuck in a life of begging. He's not able to live up to his full potential as a person because of his blindness. He's ostracized, he's marginalized, he's left out, he's kicked out, he's disregarded by those who are in the mainstream of the crowd. Bartimaeus is someone that the folk in the crowd ignored, really, and considered to be irrelevant and unimportant. And even today, y'all, we see Bartimaeus every day, don't we? Oh, come on, somebody. People who, from a social justice perspective, are considered to be those whom we look over, disregard, and look past as if they are somehow less human than others. That's my beef, Dr. Cofield, with policies and decisions and directives and opinions that are coming out of our nation's capital these days. They seemingly tend to promote the marginalization and disregard of people in our country, in our communities, that often can't speak for themselves or heal themselves. It is at the heart of social justice and what it is all about. It is what Jesus was trying to teach James and John a few verses earlier. The church of Jesus Christ is called to seek and serve those who are on the margins of the community, that have no one to advocate for them, not just the blind, but also the poor, the abused, the sick, the uninsured, the oppressed, the homeless, the hungry, the wounded, the elderly, and yes, even immigrants, who all often get overlooked and disregarded by the crowd who follows Jesus for what they can get out of it for themselves. They cry out in our streets today, church, our neighborhoods, our communities. We see them every day, and they get passed by religious people. But Jesus teaches the disciples and us again today what it means to be a disciple and to follow him. And one thing I love about Jesus is that when you're really in trouble, he will hear your cry. Somebody ought to help me right about here. Can I get a witness? He hear. Anybody ever had Jesus hear your cry when you were really shown up in trouble? Is there anybody that will testify he'll hear you when you cry out to him? Oh, yes, he will. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. I love that about Jesus, that he hears the cries of people. Bartimaeus hears that Jesus is passing by, and over and above the noise and chaos of the crowd, can't you hear Bartimaeus's voice? Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. In the time of trouble, the Lord will hear your cry. He is a very present help when you are in trouble. He is a God of the oppressed. He is a God who specializes in loving and serving and redeeming and healing and putting the broken pieces of your life back together. I just want to know, is there anybody here that knows that he will do it? Won't he do it? Can't you hear Bartimaeus talking and shouting above the crowd, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. You ever had to shout out to the Lord like that? Do you know what it means to reach a point in your life when you know that nothing and nobody else can help? And if that God doesn't do it, it's not going to get done, and you may not make it. Lord, have mercy today. Thank God that he is a healer. He's an ultimate almighty redeemer and restorer. And all of us in the house today would have to confess, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, I never would have made it. Everybody ought to have that testimony. But listen, Bartimaeus has decided in his heart, he knows where his help is coming from. And he's not going to let anybody stop him. Now, there are those in the crowd. If you haven't closed your Bible, look, they're there in the crowd. There are those in the crowd who would prefer that Bartimaeus shut up all that noise, because it simply doesn't take all that. Preach, Jesse Williams. I'm trying my best, Lord. I'm trying. And whenever I hear folks say it doesn't take all that, I say in my mind, what you need to say is it doesn't take all that for you. Because you don't know what kind of hell somebody else went through this week that they need God to set them free from. You don't know where they've been, or what, who's been messing with them, or who's been on them. You don't know. And just because you ain't been through that, it doesn't mean they don't need. Let people call out to God however they want to. Can I get a witness? When folk need the Lord to move in their life, don't get in their way. Don't look at them funny. Don't turn your nose up. Don't give them the stank eye. Because contrary to opinion, God did not appoint a committee to develop policy and procedure on how folk can worship and praise the Lord. I'm looking for the loud crowd this morning. Somebody who's not ashamed to give God glory and give him honor. Oh, yeah. I done fooled around, preached myself happy, Dizzy. I'm getting a Harlem feeling in Houston. Amen. Yes, y'all, listen. There will always be those in the crowd who try to hush people who call on God. But I like Bartimaeus in this text. Bartimaeus had to be from Harlem, y'all, because it said that the more they shushed him, the louder he got. Bartimaeus said, forget y'all, I need Jesus to do something for me, and I'm not going to be denied on this day. You see, sometimes you've got to push through the judgment of people in order to get what God really has for you. You got to push through the opinions and attitudes of people in order to get the healing that you need. Don't you ever let people stop you from connecting to Jesus, because he hears the cries of his people. The text today, DZ, it's masterfully tailored and textured to teach us that if you want to get the Lord's attention, You got to do it in spite of what the crowd thinks. That'll bless somebody if you'll receive it. And that the Lord will hear your voice. So verse 49 says that Jesus stood still and took notice. When I decided today I'm going to be like Bartimaeus, I want to encounter Jesus. I'm not going to be quiet. I can't keep it to myself. He's brought me too far. He's done too much. He's been too loving. Saved me from too much. Got me out of too much trouble. Kept me through too many dangerous toils and snares for me to be quiet now and hold my peace? No. Now, I get it. I already know. There are some who just may not be feeling Bartimaeus or me today. I get that. But all I can say is that's between you and God. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You may see that the crowd has a point, that Bartimaeus shouldn't be disrupting and interrupting the decorum and protocol of the parade that Jesus is in. Hush up all that noise. Or do all that shouting on an occasion like this. There were those who would rather make those who are in need stay silent. And that's part of the oppression that's happening in our country right now, that people who are in trouble and hurting and suffering, there's a crowd that wants them to just be quiet and just shush. And they get real theological and intellectual about it, because the noise of hurting and wounded people is disrupting their enjoyment of the event. But may I suggest to you that this is not just a moment for Jesus, this is a ministry moment. And that God rarely seeks to please a crowd, but God is always willing to save one soul. Yeah, I just said something there. Even if it's just one in a large crowd, Jesus is willing to go to hell and back, even if it's just for one soul. So call on him and seek him, and you will find, he will find you there. But, you know, there's some, I understand, that claim this is a serious, sanctimonious, silent time in which we should be in silent contemplation of the historicity of this momentous ontological experience. I get it. And your noise of hurting wounded people is disrupting my enjoyment of the event. But but sometimes I just got to say, Lord, have mercy on me and help me in the midst of what I'm in. All right, so I hear you, preacher. But the question today is, what's so important about showing mercy while we're making disciples? Because after all, that's what Bartimaeus asked for. He said, Son of David, have mercy on me. And in response to the conversation with the text today, I would offer the following three things that I will leave you with. Number one, we got to show mercy when we're making disciples so that sincere servanthood can be taught. Sincere. Let church say sincere servanthood. Sincere. Yeah, you see, Here's the rub, y'all. Here it is. Not only was Bartimaeus changed in the story, but I would argue that some folk in the crowd got changed too. When Jesus heard Bartimaeus, and no doubt heard those in the crowd trying to shush him, telling him to be quiet, the Bible says that Jesus stopped and he said, go get him and bring him to me. Right? In other words, this is how cold-blooded Jesus can be, y'all, listen. In other words, Jesus told the same folk who had been trying to make him shut up, said, now you go get him. Yeah, no, you, yeah, I'm talking to you. You go get him and bring him to me. The same folk that tried to shush him, I'm talking to you. You go get him and bring him to me. The same mouths that said, be quiet, are the same mouths that had to say, Jesus wants to see you. Those who were hindering Bartimaeus are now told by Jesus, go help him come to me. Hindering hands became helping hands. Those who criticized him for the noise he was making had to now usher him into the presence of Jesus. In doing so, Jesus changed the crowd by teaching them that sometimes real servanthood means helping those whom you've criticized. So if you've ever been one that said, I wish they would sit down and be quiet and stop all that noise, you're on the top of the Lord's list to be changed and transformed. Yeah. God got something for you. The Lord says, stop criticizing them and bring them closer to me. That's in the Bible, y'all. That's right there. Their cry and their noise has purpose, and it reaches the ears of God himself. And if we're going to be real disciple makers, we've got to be willing to not criticize people, but to bring them into the presence of Jesus. Am I making any sense, y'all? He's teaching us something, and he's letting us know that sincere service has to be done sometimes in some uncomfortable, unorthodox ways. The direction of our country now seems to be one in which marginalized and oppressed people are being criminalized and blamed and criticized more than they are helped. And if we're not careful, we will be more like the administration than we are like the God of the Bible. Sincere service is not simply done to the people you choose or you like, or they in your crew or your boo, amen. But service is also done to the people you've criticized and tried to hush and tried to silence and wish they would be quiet. God is depending on us to help them to get closer to Jesus and not just ourselves. All right, point number two, listen. We got to do mercy. We got to make disciples using mercy because we want social stigmas to be dropped. All right, walk with me. In verse 50, the text says the first thing that Bartimaeus did was to throw away his garment. Did you see that? Now, that garment had purpose. He used it for covering as he traveled, and when he found a begging spot, he would spread the garment out on the ground so that when people came by, if they wanted to give him some money, they would just drop it on the garment. Because he was blind, he couldn't see. So at the end of the day, he would wrap up the garment together and hopefully all the coins or all the money would be in the garment. That was his way of capturing all the donations. Make sense? The garment was a symbol of economic poverty. It represented the label and stigma that was attached to Bartimaeus by the people in the community. It was one of the ways that blind Bartimaeus was identified by the people who passed him by and disregarded him on a daily basis. It was how he lived the reality of being a blind beggar every day. And much the same way we label and stigmatize those in our communities and in our country that are oppressed and marginalized, the poor, the homeless, the sick, the abused, the hungry, all who are suffering, under the labels imposed on them by the culture. And one of the powerful messages of this text is that people who are marginalized and stigmatized in our neighborhoods can be healed. And they can be restored by the power of God if disciples do it the right way. When Bartimaeus threw away his cloak first, it symbolized that he believed that God could heal him. And at that moment, listen, he decided to stop looking like and acting like a beggar. This is important. See, sometimes your faith needs to act first before you see the miracle. Sometimes God wants to see if you can stop looking and acting like what you need to change from and start acting like what you really want God to make you into, and then God will work the miracle. Is that making any sense? Listen. We often, when we're talking to God, we say, God, if you show me this, I'll do this. And no, God's saying, if you do this, I'll show you this. Right? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. God can get you away. What garment is there that you're holding on that you need to drop and let go of? The easy part for God, God can get you away from the garment, but God wants to know, can you let go of the garment? So what garment is there in your life that you need to throw away so God can heal you? There's all kinds of examples. I use this at 8 o'clock, and they got a kick out of this. If you want a husband or a wife or a boo, and you want a godly husband or wife or a godly boo, start acting like it and carry yourself that way. You can't live life like Lucius and Cookie and Olivia and all them and then turn around and say, Lord, send me a godly man or a godly woman. You got to take some garments off. I guess I'll be careful how I use that taking the garment off phrase. That could be taken the wrong way. You got to start becoming what you want to be before God does it. Does that make any sense, y'all? As disciples of Jesus Christ, we are witnesses. So how your neighbors see you does, in fact, matter. God can change your social stigma, but you have to be willing to leave some things behind and throw some things away. And in my own exegetical gymnastics, DZ, I thought about this, that when he gets up and throws the cloak away, there was probably some money in it. But he doesn't care. When you think about God really doing what you need done in your life, how many of you know some things are more precious than money? They are priceless. There's more to them than just that. So he threw the cloak away and threw the money away because he was on his way to see Jesus. And that's the kind of reckless abandon and faith that we've got to have to trust God. All right, I've held you too long already, but listen, the third and finally, if we're going to show mercy while we make disciples, we do it so that a new spiritual direction can come to someone's life, a new spiritual direction. When Bartimaeus gets to Jesus, Jesus asks him, what do you want me to do for you? And in stark contrast to James and John, a few verses earlier, Bartimaeus doesn't ask for a position, doesn't ask for a title, doesn't ask for someplace where he can feel important. He just simply says, Lord, I want to see. And when Jesus sees his faith, he tells him, go your way. Your faith has healed you. And in that word, Jesus immediately, somebody say immediately, immediately healed him physically, socially, and economically. His past is changed. He now has new life, new vision, and new possibilities, new potential that he didn't have before. No more stigma, no more labels, no more people trying to silence him. But notice that Jesus tells him he can go wherever he wants to go because his healing is done. But thank God that Bartimaeus makes the right decision. He got his blessing. He got his sight. He got what he needed. But he decided to stay and follow Jesus. Bartimaeus became a disciple. And of all the places where he could have gone to celebrate his healing, Bartimaeus decided to stay with Jesus. He's not stuck having to beg along the side of the road anymore. Now he's walking along the road where he used to beg, and his eyes are on Jesus, who is leading the way. You know, when the Lord blesses you, church, you ought not just take your blessing and run away with it. Can I get a witness? You ought not just say, I'm out, I got what I want, I'm ready to move on. If God has blessed you, and if God has surely been good to you, you ought to stick around and follow Jesus. Can I get a witness? Because when you follow Jesus, he's got a way of blessing you over and above anything that you could ever ask or think. If you think back over your life and what God has brought you from, you ought to be first in line to give God praise and lift up his name and glorify him for what he has done. Is there anybody here that can say he's been good to me, better to me than I've been to myself in all my days, in all my appointed time? I'm going to worship him, give him glory. Give him honor. He's bread when I'm hungry, water when I'm thirsty. Won't he do it? Won't he do it? He's a doctor in a sick room, lawyer in a courtroom. Won't he do it? I said, won't he do it? Is there anybody here that's decided to follow Jesus and you're going all the way? 99 and a half won't do, but you're going all the way. Somebody say all the way. I'm going all the way with Jesus. I'm going to follow him. I'm going to live for him. I'm going to be his disciple, and I'm going to make more disciples. Whatever you do, when you make disciples, show God's mercy. God bless you. May he keep you in his care.
Yeah, maybe want to preach some more. Shoot. Everybody who can, everybody who will, stand on your feet wherever you are. As a song of invitation is sung, I want somebody in here to know that wherever you are, this message applies to you. If you're here today, and maybe you're on the side of the road, you might not be there physically. You're there emotionally, mentally, spiritually. You need the Lord to help you. I want you to know that same Jesus is available today. God's love is available for you today. And if you're here today, and maybe you're part of that crowd that's been criticizing instead of comforting, you've been looking at others with disdain when God says you should look at them through the lens of discipleship and how you can help somebody to become all that God wants them to be. Wherever you are, here's what I want you to know. The Lord wants to meet you there and help you move to where he wants you to be. If you need Jesus, the invitation is for you to come. The men and women who are up front, and there are others all around you who would love to show you how to ask the Lord into your life. Maybe you've gone through some things that have been so tough, so difficult, and God has simply been using those things as a lesson to say to you, life is too big for you to handle on your own. God says, come on and let me help you handle life. And if you know somebody who needs them, you ought to be praying for them right now. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let me do this today. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're here today, you've never accepted Jesus Christ into your life, you've never prayed a prayer of salvation, you've never confessed with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believed in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. If you're here today, and if I ask you the question, if you died today, would heaven be your home? And you have no idea. Or somebody you hear and you know you'd bust hell wide open. The only thing godly about you today is that you made it to church. That's about it. Here's what I want you to know. God wants more for you than that. And God doesn't call you to be perfect. He calls you to come with your imperfections and allow his spirit to move on you. And so if you're here today, you've never asked the Lord into your life, every head bowed, every eye closed, and you say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved, or I know I'm not saved. I've never asked Christ into my life, but I want to give my life to the Lord. I've been out here long enough. If you would just raise your hand, and you can put it back down when I acknowledge it, just raise your hand and say, yeah, I need God in my life. I see your hand. I see your hand. You can put it down. I see your hand. Somebody else up in the balcony, I see your hand. Never ask Jesus Christ into your life. Amen. I see your hand. I want to pray right now. Some would say this is easy believism, but it's really not. Because you start off by first, as the Lord says, confessing with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you can be saved. For those of you who raised your hand and maybe somebody you didn't, I want to pray the prayer of salvation, and then I want to give those of you who have prayed the prayer of salvation an opportunity to come. I want you to listen to me. I'm not talking about church membership. Whether you're a part of Good Hope Church or not is not an issue for me. My concern is, are you part of the body of Christ? That when the Lord calls, you're going to answer. And we want to help you in your walk with God, because I don't believe you're here by accident. So if you're here today and you raised your hand, or you want to pray the prayer of salvation with me, repeat this prayer after me. And you can repeat it out loud or in your heart, because God is a God who knows our hearts. But I want to give you an opportunity to do this. Repeat after me. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. I want to turn away from my sinful life to the life you have planned for me. Please forgive me for my sins. Cleanse me from my past and make me new. I believe your Son, Jesus Christ, died for me. I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead. At this very moment, I accept, confess, and proclaim Jesus as my Savior and as my Lord. Thank you, God, for your grace. And I pray, God, that as I have prayed this prayer, your Holy Spirit would guide me and help me to do your will for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer, come on, let's give the Lord a hand of praise. somebody who's been watching, you prayed that prayer with us. Here's what I want you to do. If you're watching us right now, use that quick link and let us know. I asked Jesus Christ into my life. I want you to pray for me. I want to know the next steps, and we will get in contact with you and let you know how you can begin your discipleship journey in earnest. If you're here today, listen, I want you to come right now. If you raise your hand and you prayed that prayer and the Holy Spirit is leading you to come, not coming to join the church, that's membership, that's something else. We just want to pray with you, pray for you, put some information in your hands so we can help you as you begin this journey with Jesus Christ. Up in the balcony, downstairs, some of you raise your hand to my left or my right. Come on and come right now. We won't look at you funny. You don't have to say anything. We're going to rejoice when you come. We're going to give God praise when you come. And we're just going to celebrate what God is doing in your life. Come on, somebody come on and say yes. You prayed the prayer. Come on. Yes, I have decided.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
No turning back.
No
bless you.
No turning back.
Man. All right, listen. You know what? The Holy Spirit just said something to me, and then this brother just validated it. One of the hardest things to do in a room full of strangers is walk by yourself. So I need you to turn to somebody and say, you need me to walk with you? Just tell them, just say, if you need me to walk with you, I'll walk with you. Come on, let's go. Come on, I'll walk with you. Now, you got to be honest and say, yeah, come on and walk with me. Come on and walk with me. Yeah, come on and walk with me. I see you coming. Come on. Yeah, come on. I see you coming. Come on. Upstairs, just tell me. Yeah, I need you to walk. Yeah, come on. Come on, come on. Yeah, I see you. Bless you, man. Bless you. Yeah, I see you. God bless you. I see you. Yes, sir. I see you. I see you. I see you. Come on. I see you coming out of the balcony. Come on. Yeah, we making folk walk by themselves. Come on, tell them I walk with you. I walk with you. You don't have to walk by yourself.
Still I will follow.
Hallelujah to the Lamb. Come on, I see you, sis. Come on, bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Yeah, bless you.
Still I will.
Bless you. I see you. Look at him, man. Tears in the eyes. Come on. Come on. Now, I know some of y'all didn't ask anybody yet. Some of y'all didn't ask anybody yet. Look this up. Maybe you asked the wrong person. Go to the other side. Say, you need me to walk with you. I'll walk with you. I'll walk with you. Come on, let's walk. Let's walk. Let's walk.
No turning back. The cross before me.
The world behind me.
The world behind me. The cross before me.
I don't know if you caught it. I just gave you an opportunity to be the person that Jesus said, go get him and bring him. I just gave you a chance. Just gave you a chance. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's thank God for our brothers and our sisters who have come today. Man, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Come on. Stretch out your hands. Come on, we're going to cover them in believing prayer. Father, I thank you for these brothers. Thank you for these sisters who have come today. And I pray now, God, for those who have responded online as well. I just pray that you would move by the power of your Spirit. God, I pray that you would do such a great thing in their life that only you can get the glory, only you can get the honor, and only you can get the credit. God, I pray that for this season of their life, for this journey that they are on, that we can be a catalyst for them so that when their life is moving in such a powerful way, their testimony will be, God did it. And they would be able to show others that what God has done for them, God could do the same thing in their life. God, where our prayers fall short, make up the difference. Do beyond what we could ask or think. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say amen. Come on, let's thank God for those who have come one more time. Come on, follow the brothers or sisters who are leading you. Come on. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Come on, somebody give the Lord a hand of praise today. Lord, have mercy. Woo! What a word, what a word. Come on, let's thank God for Dr. Jesse Williams Jr. Come on, let's thank God for Pastor Williams, man. What a blessing. Thank you, Doc, for letting the Lord use you on the day. Man, what a powerful, powerful word today. Let's prepare now. Listen, we're getting ready to worship the Lord in giving, and then we have our commissioning and our celebration. Cardboard testimonies, I want you to get ready. Go ahead and get in your place now. Let's worship the Lord in giving. Give as God has blessed you. Give as God has promised.